Okay, Shalom Rabosei. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Chavav, a guten Zois Chanukah. We are in the middle of a discussion between Abaye and Rava, right? We had said on Chavhei Mabez, the phrase, Hana Haba Lula Adam Ba Korcho. Let's say a person derives benefit from something that's Asur Behana, let's say, Bas Bechalov. If someone derives benefit against your will, let's say smelling, we'll get to smell in a second on today's daf, but let's say whatever example you come up with, deriving benefit against a person's will, is that mutter? Have you done anything wrong? I mean, is there an isser here? So Abaye had said it was mutter, and Rava had said it was usser. And the question is, what exactly is the case? We had two components, two variables that we had to discuss, and then we had two different versions of their machlokas. So the two variables, first of all, are kavana and efshar, and ability to avoid the certain scenario. Right? Again, just to take an example, and again, it's not a great example because we'll see in a second on today's daf, but let's say you're walking down the street and you smell basar b'chalav. Again, basar b'chalav midaraisa, basar b'chalav, it has to be kosher meat and kosher milk. So if you're walking by a McDonald's, that doesn't apply. If you're walking by a treif bakery, that doesn't apply. Okay, either something, construct some sort of case where it's asr b'hanah. So the question is, efshar, could you have avoided the scenario? Could you have, let's say, walked down a different street? And kavana, and were you mechaven? Did you intend to have benefit? So everybody agrees that if you couldn't avoid the situation and you didn't intend to have benefit, then it's mutter. The machlokas, according to the first lashon, is that if it was possible for you to avoid the scenario, but you did not have kavana, that was the machlokas. According to Abaye and Rava. The second understanding that was that the machlokas between Abaye and Rava was within Rabbi Shimon's Shita. If you remember, within Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. If you remember, we have a machlokas of Davar Shein Miskavin, back in from Masechta Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda said Davar Shein Miskavin, something you didn't intend to do, is still usher. Rabbi Shimon said something that you did not intend to do is going to be mutter. Classic case of dragging a bench across a backyard and making a ditch, right? The ditch making is usher on Shabbos, but obviously you have no intention to do that whatsoever. So as machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. We had said that, according to the second version of understanding the machlokas Abaye and Rava, the case of efshar and lo mechavein, the case where you could have avoided it, but you didn't have intent to have kavana, that was the classic machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that of Darvish and Miskavim. What was Abaye and Rava's machlokas? Abaye and Rava's machlokas was in the case where it's low efshar, where it's impossible for you to avoid it, but mechavein, and then you did have intention to benefit from the Isra Hana. They said, according to Rabbi Shimon, that would be Asr, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, right, that was machlokas Abaye and Rava, that we said before. Meaning that that Rava would say that it is, in fact, mutter. Okay. No, Rava would say, not say it's mutter, Rava would say it is Asr. Right, Rava had said Asr, right, Nachon. Rava had said Asr, and Abaye had said that it would be mutter. Okay, so with that background, we are now going to discuss on our case, on our daf today, that discussion between Abaye and Rava. Fine. So now, we're a few lines down, Chavav Amin Aleph, Amar Abaye. Abaye, three lines down, Amar Abaye, Mina Aminala. How do you know? Meaning, Rabbi says again, his Shita, according to the second version of Abaye's Shita, he's going to prove to you that Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's mutter. In a case, right, Abaye says mutter, the Rabbi Yehuda would say it's mutter in a case of low efshar and mechavim, where it's, again, it was impossible for him to avoid it, but you still had kavana for it, right? Again, according to Abaye, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he would say, since it was impossible for you to avoid it, so then it is mutter. So how does Rabbi know that? So he says to Tanya, like we learned in Rabbi Yisra, Amar Olav al Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Hay Yoshev Betzilo Shel Heichal V'Doresh Kol Yom Kulo. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used to teach Torah to everybody in the shade, or the tzeil, of the Heichal, of the big, if you ever see the picture of the base of Mikdash, right? Big, tall building. So he would use the shade of the Heichal to teach Torah, right? To shade himself from the sun all day. And the Gemara says, lo efshar v'mechavin. That is a case where it's impossible to avoid, and you're intending to derive benefit. What's impossible to avoid? Apparently, there was no other place where you could teach Torah, if I'm not mistaken, Rashi says that there was, right, look at Rashi, right, Lidrosh L'Rabim, Hilchos Hachag, there was no other place, right, you needed a big open area, and apparently that was the only place they could fit everybody in. He would teach the halachos of the chag, and he was having intent, right, to derive benefit, to enjoy the shade of the heichal. And you see, it was mutter. So that's how Abaye knows that Rabbi Yehuda would have to agree. Rava, Marava would say back to him, no, shani heichal, the heichal is different. Why the tocho asui? Because what's the heichal? What's the big building, the Beis HaMikdash? That's for inside. It's not for outside. Getting benefit from something that's outside the heichal is a strange way of getting hana, right? It's not the normal way of getting hana. That's what we had said yesterday, if you remember, that in certain scenarios, if you're getting hana in a different way, in a strange way, so then that will be mutter. So that would Rav would say back to you that no, that's an odd way of getting hana from the heichal, and therefore it would be mutter. Now the Gemara says again, according to Rav, how does Rav know that Rabbi Yehuda would aser it in a case of lo efshar and mechavin, right, where it's impossible to avoid it, but you do have intent to benefit from the hana? Rama Rava, no, I mean Allah. How do I know? At the time, I know that the Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Maseches Midos. That's right. Midos is a Masechta. Very often people don't know. Midos Yadayim, right? Okay, it sounds like normal words, but that is actually Masechta. Lulina Yipsuchim Balias Beis Kodshei Kadoshim Shein Mishalshon Sehumanim Latevos. Back in the day, when they needed to fix something that was going on in the Heichal, in the Kodesh Kadoshim, so they wouldn't walk in, the craftsmen, through the front door. They would drop him in from the ceiling, Mission Impossible style. And lulav, there are holes in the top of the Beis HaMikdash, and they would lower down the craftsmen in a teva, in a box. So he shouldn't see anything, and it literally means yazunu, to be satisfied, but really to enjoy the glory and the beauty of the Kodesh Kodashim. In the case here, right, what do you see? Right, they could only see through, I guess they had a slit, or maybe that side was open, wherever they had to fix the Beis HaMikdash in the Kodesh Kodashim, but they couldn't look anywhere else. Right, this is a case of lo efshar. It's impossible for them not to go in and fix it. Right, the building's falling down. They got to fix the wall. But kamechavin, if they had intent to see it and enjoy it, there would be usher. Right, and that's why they brought him down in a box. So you see, it must be that that must be usher according to Rabbi Yehuda. Skamar says, "What are you talking about? Vitizvara? Does that really make sense? Really, v'hamar b'shem ben pazim, b'shem ben levi, b'shem b'kapara, kol umare v'reach in b'hem b'shem yila." Says Rabbi, and this is why I mentioned that smell is not a great example, but it could be, but whatever. But Rabbi said back to Rava, what are you talking about? Rabbi Shimon Levi said in Bar Kapara that kol, voice, mare, sight, and reach, and smell, is not, there's no isser me'ila. Me'ila is the isser to benefit from kodshim, from things that belong to the Beis HaMikdash. Anything that's kodesh, anything that's sanctified, consecrated, etc., donated, cannot benefit from that. And if you do, that's an isra of me'ila. So all that stuff says, Bar Kapara, that's not considered to be me'ila. To benefit, to listen, to enjoy the music of the Beis HaMikdash or whatever, that's not considered to be me'ila. So Ella, so okay, so then why do they lower the craftsmen into the Beis HaMikdash from the ceiling? That's Ella Mala also the base, Kodesh Kodashim. It was an extra chumrah. Right? But it wasn't because anything to do with our case, right? It was just an extra chumrah that, because of the cover of the Kodesh Kodashim. So that's not relevant. Abaye would say back to Rava, that's not relevant whatsoever. Igidamri, or people say that Rava tried to prove his shita from here. Amar Rava, Allah, how do I know that Rabbi Huda says it's Aser in the case of Lo Efshar and Mechavin? Right, okay. The tiny Amr Rabbi Shimon ben Pazim, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Mishum ben Karpara, Kolam Arvareich, and then Mishum Leila. Right, those things they're not for voice, for smell, and for where is it? And for seeing, that's you're not chayav for Meila if you benefit from something of the Beis HaMikdash. Meila would be like Isur Ika. Right, okay, you don't violate the Isur of Meila, but it's still Aser. It's still Aser. My love, Osan Ha'om de Bifnim, must be referring to people who are inside the Beis HaMikdash. Have lo efshar v'kol mechavein, right? It's impossible for them, to not go in there. Anybody doing any sort of avoda, right? Referring to the Leviim, not referring to people who are fixing, but people who are doing the avoda, right? If you look at Rashi, Ha'om de Bifnim, right? L'shamesh, to serve, right? The Kohanim, the Leviim, etc. The lo efshar, it's impossible for them to avoid it, right? V'kol mechavein, they're having intent to benefit from The beauty, the basic mikdash, etc. of usher, and you see that it's usher. If I would say no, lo lo, so no, it's just referring to the people who are outside, right? Where there's no problem whatsoever. And if you're outside and you could have theoretically avoided getting benefit from those things in the basic mikdash, so then that's going to be usher. That's how Abaye would turn that proof against Rava. Okay. Gufa, let's go back to what we just said. Rabbi Shimon Pazim, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Kappara. Kol umare v'reach em behem mishum me'ila. Those three things. Listening to something, hearing something, mare, seeing something, or smelling something. There's no iser me'ila. The Gemara says, one second, reach em behem mishum me'ila? Really, smelling is not part of me'ila. There's no iser me'ila to smell something that smells nice from the Beis HaMikdash. V'atani v'lindin abraisa, v'fatim ezer katar, is this lamid ba? If a person makes ketores, to learn how to make a Torah, Ola Mosra L'tzibur, or to give it to the masses, meaning to give it to the Beis HaMikdash, so then Potter. He's Potter from Kares, right? You're not allowed to make Torah on your own. Terrible idea. You're not allowed to make Torah on your own. But Mariach Ba Potter, but if you smell it, you're Potter, right? Elamal, but you have done Me'ila, but you are Chayiv for Me'ila. So you see that smelling is Shayach to Me'ila. So Elamar Papa, yeah, okay, fine. That seems to be a good proof. Kol Umara in Behem Mishu Me'ila. So let's change it a little bit. Hearing something and seeing something, that's not an Isra Me'ila, the Fidish and Behem Mamash, because that's not anything. You're not doing anything. You're just hearing and you're seeing. You're not actively doing something. And smell, it's only usher. It's mutter la'achar shetala trumaso. When it's mutter after you've already burned the ketores on the mizbeach, the smoke has already gone up. At that point, ein b'hem mishum me'ila holo v'nasas mitzvah. So since you already have fulfilled the mitzvah of the ketores, so then. And the smell, yes, smell in general is usher, but after it's been done, after the ketores has already been brought, then it's not usher, then it's mutter. Ay, the member of the chol heichot and nasis mitzvahs in behem mishum mila. Is it really true that ever after you finish a mitzvah or a service in the Beis HaMikdash, there's no isra of mila anymore? By trade trumas adeshin, what about the trumas adeshin was the ashes on the mizbeach after the korbanos have been burned? And there's a whole service with that. The nasis mitzvah, so you've already done the mitzvah of burning the korbanos, v'yesh behem mishum mila, but the ashes you're not allowed to use. There's an isra me'ila to use the ashes. The chetiv, as the pasuk says, v'samo etzel ha-mizbeach, you have to put them next to the mizbeach. And we learn, shlo yifazer, you can't spread it out, meaning you have to put it nicely next to the mizbeach. You can't just, you know, kind of throw it out and spread it out. V'samo, and to put it next to, shlo yene, you shouldn't have any benefit, right? So you're not allowed to benefit from the trumas adeshin, but you see that they burned it in the korbanos. So how could you tell me that after you're done with an avoda, you're allowed to benefit from the stuff? Because we see that the Trumas Hadeshin and the Big Day Kahuna, they're what's called two psukim that come to teach one halacha, meaning the same halacha that you're not allowed to benefit from them. Torah says twice, right, that both by the Big Day Kahuna and the Trumas Hadeshin, you're not allowed to derive benefit from them even after they're done, even after they've been used already. And therefore, v'chol shnei ksumba. And the rule is that whenever you have two psukim teaching a specific halacha, you can't apply that elsewhere in Chumash, because we assume that since the Torah, if the Torah would have wanted to teach you a general rule, it would have said it once. But once the Torah says it twice, so then already those two halachos are shayach to this specific din, and not anything else. And that's why, but Trumas Hadeshin and Big Day Kahuna are special. But the Enochinami, but by Ketores, if you did the Avodah already, so then there is no Me'ila by that, because you can't extend the halacha of not being able to benefit from these two items, from the Trumas Hadeshin and the Big Day Kahuna, you can't extend that to Ketores, because that's Shnei Ksuvim HaBoin Ke'echad, it's written in two specific places. The Gemara just explains Trumas Hadeshin Hada Amran, right? We just mentioned Trumas Hadeshin, Bidei Kuna, what's that pasuk? The Chetiv pasuk says Vidicham Sham, right? You have to put them there after they're done wearing on Yom Kippur. You have to put the Bidei Kuna there. Malami Shetun and Gniza, you have to be Gones them, you have to put them into Shemus. As the Gemara says, okay, well that works out. That works according to the Rabbanan, who say that pasuk teaches me that you have to be gones them. Right? El Ramidosa de Polygalayu, right? The Amar Aval Ruin Hink the Queen Hedyot. Remember, Ramidosa doesn't say that you're not allowed to use them after use, right? He doesn't learn that Behini Kham Sham means you have to put them away. It means you're just not allowed to use them for the what's it called? For the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, but you can use it by regular Kohen. So Umay v'hini yicham sham, and when do you use the pasuk of v'hini yicham sham? Shalosh yishtamash b'hem b'yom kippur acheret. And the whole din of v'hini yicham sham doesn't teach me that you're not allowed to use it afterwards. It just means you're not allowed to use it on the next Yom Kippur. So Michael Neymar. So that's not Shnei Ksuvim Abayin Ke'echon anymore. Once you tell me that v'hini yicham sham is teaching me a different din, so now you're still left with one pasuk by Trumas Hadeshen that teaches me that you're not allowed to use, that you're still not allowed to use an item in the Beis HaMikdash after it's been used. That's still an Isra Me'ilah. So where are you getting the second pasuk from? So then, according to Rabbi Dosa, so then Mishud Navi Trumas Hadeshen Ve'egla Rufa Shnei Ksuvim Abayin Ke'echon. So Rabbi Dosa would use the second pasuk. He would take the Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa, if you're not familiar, is a din where if you find a dead body in between two cities, so the Kohanim, or the Beis Din rather, of the closest city goes out to where the mace was, and they take an Egla Rufa, which is a cow that has not been worked at all, and they break its neck near a river, and they say, it's like an atonement almost, we did not spill this guy's blood, we did not kill him, we didn't see who killed him, etc., etc. So an Egla Rufa, it also is Usur Behanah, and it also is going to teach us in a second that you're not allowed to use it after it's been done. Okay, therefore they have two psukim that teach me one halacha, and therefore they are specific to those two halachos, to those two contexts, and you cannot apply it to something like Torahs, which we're trying to do. So Gemara says still, right? Okay, this only works according to the guy that most people say that you cannot extend a halacha that applies to only two specific topics in the pasuk. But some people do. Some people say you can. According to those who say you can extend a concept and a halacha that applies by two different contexts, so why can't you extend that to Ketores? So Gemara says, therefore, train mutexivi. Because here, we have two exclusions that are specific to these cases. Ksiv is samo, that's by the Trumas Hadeshen. We had ksiv ha'arufa. And it says the egla arufa, meaning specifically only the egla arufa and not anything else. So therefore, since the Torah was specific by those two cases, right, so therefore we have an extra drasha according to those people who say normally you can take this Shnei Ksuvim, these two psukim, and learn it elsewhere, but you have an extra pasuk by both of these cases, by both the Trumas Hadeshen and the Egla Rufa, to teach me that in this case you cannot extend it, and you cannot extend it, therefore, in our case, to Ketores. Okay. Nebaita Bayin Rava. And again, Rava had said, if you remember, that in a case of Lo Efshar, I don't know if this helps you, but I wrote it out on a little notepad here. I charted it out, the first version, the second version. So I keep on, if I pause for a minute, I'm just referencing to glance down at the handy-dandy chart that I have over here. So now back to, again, Tashma, we're trying to prove that Rava says, that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, in the case of Lo Efshar, Emechavein, but again, lo efshar, meaning you cannot avoid getting the hana, you cannot avoid that road or wherever you're going, but machaven, he is intending to drive hana, according to Rava, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that it is aser. So let's try and prove that. So Toshma, well, let's learn the Nebraisa. Hechnisa l'rivka. Rivka is not the name of a person. Rashi says it's the name of a row of cows that they used to use to plow in the field. I don't know if it's pronounced Ravka or whatever, but it looks like Rivka. Anyway, the case is, if you hechnisa, if you entered, meaning you added, and Rashi here explains that if you're going to bring a calf, a baby cow, right, to kind of walk along with its mother, let's see, right, and you want to use this calf as an egla rufa. Right, again, it's, you have a calf that's walking around with its mother, and its mother is doing the plowing. The calf is kind of making sure it can eat, right, with the mother as the mother plows. Now, the rule is, by an egla rufa, you're not allowed to work it at all. It cannot have done any work whatsoever. So if you had brought this little calf along with its mother while it was working in the field, vidasha, and then the cow did some threshing, like with everybody else, meaning the baby cow, so then kshera, that's still fine. I mean, it's still not considered as if it has done any work. Okay. If I'm not sure, yeah, okay, fine. B'shvil shetinok v'tidosh, but if you intended, right, if you wanted the calf to nurse from its mother and to do threshing, so then psula, then it is no good, because that's considered as if it worked. V'hakadol efshev v'kamachavein, right, here the case is, it's impossible to not, have that calf near its mother, right, it needs to nurse, right, v'kamachavein, and you want it to nurse and thresh for you. So apparently, v'katani psula, and you see that it's usur, right? And you see that's considered work. So that's no good. So you see that apparently this is usur. So the guy's shiny awesome. So no, that's different. Why? D'chtiv asher lo ubad ba. You're not allowed to do any malacha with the cow whatsoever, right? Mikol makom, in any scenario. So even this tiny bit of malacha that you're doing, right, it's kind of haphazardly off the side, that's still considered work. This Gemara says, "Ihachi afilu reish nami." Well, if that's true, that any work whatsoever, so why in the first case, where the guy just wanted the animal to stay with its mother, didn't have any intention to have any threshing done, so why is that motor? Right? If you tell me any work is usur, so any work, that should be any work. It's good. Gemara says, "Hello damya elo daha," because that is not similar. That is similar to the following. We learned this is by a paraduma, which is also usur. Usher to work. Shachan aleha oaf. If a bird is shachan is living on it, it literally means it landed on it. So then ksheira, the cow is still kosher to be a paraduma. Aleha zachar, but if already a male cow got on top of her, so then they were mating, so rather the animal cannot be mated either. So then psula, then it is no good. So my time, what's the difference, right? Samar papa. Ikasiv avad a kriyan avad. So there's a kriyan ksiv over there. It's written ayin beis dalad, which is avad, but it's said ubad. So that's a kriyan ksiv. So the Rav Papa says ikasiv avad a kriyan avad. If it would have just said, it says avad and we read it as avad. So then ad avad beihu. Right? We would assume that it's the only work that we care about is the person. Avad implies that you're trying to work the animal. Right, so if the guy who owns the animal had worked her, that would be considered work, and nothing else would be considered work. Iksiv ubad v'kriyan ubad. If it would be written as ubad, right, which means that work was done with it. That's how we read it. So then afilu me'mela nami. Then any type of work, even if let's say the bird landed on its back and it was any type of work, right, me'mela, if it happened even by itself, so that also would have messed up the paraduma. The hashtag, the chtiv avad, v'krinan ubad. Now the pasuk says avad, and really it's ubad. Again, these psukim that I'm reading about it, I think these psukim are by Igla Rufa, but I guess it's the same thing. Meaning, I guess we learn paraduma from Igla Rufa, right? We're trying to deal with Igla Rufa. Either way, but the pasuk says avad, right? It's written ayin beis dalet in the chumash, but we say ubad, asher ubad ba. So therefore, we learn ubad dumya de avad, that we compare the two things, right? Ma avad de nichale, af ubad de nichale. So just like the word avad implies work that the owner of the animal is happy with, right? Because he's making the cow work. So ubad also has to be something that the owner is happy with, right? The owner does not care whatsoever if a bird lands on the cow and gets a ride. The owner does care if a bull and a cow mate, and now you have more a calf and you have your offspring, right, that the owner is very happy about. So that would be considered work according to this understanding. That's the difference in the brises. Meaning, a bai is going to say that if we say that the calf is doing the threshing on its own, then the owner doesn't care, right? So he's not interested in that whatsoever. But in the second case, the owner had intention, right, for the cow to do the threshing, right? So then it's no good because the owner is happy with that result. Okay, fine. So now we have to another toshma to try and prove Rava Shita again that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that it's aser. In the case of Efshar, if it's low Efshar, it's not impossible to avoid the situation of Hana, but Mechaven, you still had Kavana to have to benefit. Aveda lo yishtachana agave mita. If you find a lost object, and specifically here we're talking about a piece of clothing, you should not spread it over a bed, velo agave magod, or on top of posts, to kind of spread it out, litzorcho, for yourself, for your own purposes. right, to enjoy it. Right? That's already Geneva. It's not yours. Right? You have to watch it and wait until someone comes and claims it. But that to use it for yourself is awesome. For its own needs, meaning for its own purposes, if the piece of clothing needs stretching or it needs to be, I don't know, it's all soaking wet, you need to leave it, you know, kind of leave it to dry. So that's mutter for itself. If guests come, so then then you can't spread it out whatsoever. Because again, apparently a person is, you know, you're going to get benefit from the, let's say it's not an expensive piece of, I don't know, an expensive rug or whatever. So people are going to say, ah, when'd you get that rug? When'd you get that nice painting? When'd you get that nice item? Right? People are going to benefit, right? Even though you're not intending to derive benefit from it, right? It's low efshar. It's impossible for you. What do you have to do? You need to spread it out because it's, let's say, waterlogged or damaged or whatever. But mechaven, you're intending to have hana from it. Your guests are going to be impressed by the item that you have. It's not yours. And the Brisa says that it's also, right? Regardless of whether it's for it or for yourself, right? Even if if you're unable to avoid the situation, you have intention to benefit from it. It's going to be also. So Gemara says, "Shiny hasam." No, the kalile. It ends up being like a kula. What does that mean? Sorry. Meaning Rashi. Yeah, if you look at Rashi over here, Mishani lav mishum kavanahu ela mishum deshchita kalile. Kolomar, in other words, I'm basically right across in Rashi. Me'avda bi'adayim. Really, what's going on when you spread out this very nice item in front of guests? It's not positive. It's not a positive thing you're doing. It's as if you're ma'avda, you're losing it actively. You're causing yourself to lose it. Why? So Rashi gives two possibilities. Imishum inabisha, imishum dilma orchim ganveininu. I guess that's the Gemara. Right, the Gemara says imishum inabisha, imishum ganve, because either way, it's going to cause an ayin hara, or someone's going to steal it. Right, if you spread out a really nice item when there are guests, so showing off your nice expensive items, someone's going to jack it, someone's going to give an ayin hara to it or whatever, and so it's not, you're not deriving benefit from it at all. Okay, fine. One last proof, and this with this we are going to actually reject this is actually a proof. For the second way of understanding against the first way of understanding. Now that I think about it, it could be that we've been trying to do that the entire time. I take it back. I wasn't sure. I guess Mustama, that was our goal, our end game the entire time. Either way, so let's see in a second. Then we're going to reject the first way of understanding the machlokas. Tashma, we learned in the Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Kielayim. Mochri Ksus Mochim Kedarkon. If you remember, we had this in Mesechus Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken. Checking the... Yeah, a couple times in Mishnah Shabbos. Mochrin kedarkon. The people who are selling clothing, if let's say they're selling clothing with shatnez for goyim, so they're allowed to wear it in the normal way to show it off. I guess they didn't have mannequins back in the day. You could wear it in the normal manner. And so as long as you don't have intention to benefit from it, right? Whether it's this, you know, to protect yourself from the sun and the rain, etc. That's snuim, and the people who are tsanua, the people who are, you know, I guess charedim is the vernacular nowadays. So mafshil lacharehen b'makel, right? They'll just leave the clothing up on a stick. Right, or a pole or whatever, or a hanger, some sort of something, behind them in the store. Meaning they're not going to wear it themselves. What's the case over here? Here it's possible, right? It's efshar, it's possible to do it, like the people who are tsanua, the people who are, more from, shall we say, with not to chas v'shalom say anything bad about people, but the people who are tsanua, more tsanua, v'chilo mechavein shari. And they're not having intention to have benefit, right? And then Bryce says that it's mutter. Right? What do we say in the first version of the machlokas? We said the first version of the machlokas is that by efshar and lo mechavein, that's a machlokas between Rava and Abaye. And Rava says it's asur, and Abaye says it's mutter. Here you're telling me that if it's efshar and lo mechavein, it's mutter. Now, how could Rava tell me that's Aser? So it must be, right? It must be against the one who taught the machlokas between Abai and Rava is by Efshar v'lo machavein. Because this Brisa clearly says that it's Efshar, it's lo machavein, right? It's possible to do it the other way. You don't have intention to have benefit. And it's mutter. Rava, according to the first guy who explained the machlokas, he said that Rava said it was Aser. So it says Tiyufta, yeah, and Echanami. It must be Tiyufta, and therefore the machlokas must be like the second way we understood the machlokas. Okay, we're going to actually stop at the two dots over here because this is a discussion that's going to change gears here and go on to Amud Aleph. Have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this. Have a lichtig Chanukah. As long as you can enjoy the light of Chanukah a little bit longer, right? Tavo lo bracha.